world. I'm John Batchelor. To Canada, Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, writing his column for the National Post. I learned from Conrad, in 2008, the Australian government passed through both houses of its parliament an apology and expression of regret for past injustices to the Indigenous people of Australia, sometimes called the Aborigines. Today, we have a controversy that would appear to be connected to that decision in 2008, except the Australian people, by vote, have rejected the up-to-date version of an apology. I welcome you, Conrad, to help me explain this matter. It was called The Voice. And as I understand it, one particular faction of the Australian political landscape believed that it was necessary to go beyond 2008 and develop what you'd have to say was a caveat or a codicil of a constitution that gave the Indigenous people, the Aboriginal people, a voice that was quite separate from the parliament. In other words, they were Australian citizens, but they were also something more than that. You have written discerningly about its rejection. Why was it rejected, to your understanding? And then we'll come home to Canada. Good evening to you.
Sure. Yeah, good evening to you, John. As I understand it, you had a couple of problems with it. In the first place, it was vague. The voice was there would be a committee comprised of distinguished and representative members of the native community in Australia, and it would be consultative. Now, it was never set out in the proposed amendment to the Australian Constitution how the membership of this committee would be selected, or how it would, or what it would actually do. It would supposedly just have the voice you refer to, but how this was communicated was not clear. So the people were asked to approve the composition of a committee that would give the natives a voice, although, as I understand it, they're perfectly free to vote like everybody else. And exactly what they would, how this committee would be selected, what weight would be given to its advice, and how its advice would be expressed, none of this was specified. And that's a lot of trouble to go to, amending a constitution. It's complicated in Australia, not quite as complicated as in the U.S., but almost, and for something that's not clear. And the other aspect is that there is there in Australia, as there is in Canada, a growing feeling that enough has been done in this area, that it may well be that there were legitimate grievances that have been apologized for, but in the general welfare system and social affairs system of Australia, it's a rich country with an extensive social security net, the rest of this has been dealt with, and this is just kind of rubbing a sore point for no reason. And so there's clearly now a majority feeling in Australia that enough is enough. We've apologized. We've given them lots of money. We're trying to help them, and we're just not going to perpetuate this thing and give them a platform from which to accuse us of inexpiable wrongdoing, of wrongdoing so severe that no matter what we do, we never make up for it. And I think that's what happened. And these things go back and forth for a long time in Australia and Canada, and I dare to say in the United States, there was a view that the natives have nothing to complain about. They were a primitive culture. They could never have developed the country the way the people who arrived from Europe and elsewhere have done. There's nothing to talk about. Then we all became, not in the U.S. so much, but in Australia and Canada, frightfully apologetic and full of shame and guilt at what we had done, and tried to make up for it with apologies and heavy applications of money from the treasury of the country. And now it's sort of coming back a bit, and people are saying enough is enough. If by all means, let's help these people, but let's stop apologizing about it.
I come home to Canada now because in Australia, the yes vote was associated with Anthony Albanese, the new prime minister, who is on the left side of the equation in Australia, 25 million people. We come home to Canada, And Justin Trudeau, three times elected, minority government, extremely popular in the left side of the equation. And recently we had the controversy of allegations that Native Canadian children had been buried in unmarked graves or in some fashion suggestively unacceptable behavior by missionaries over the course of the last 100 years. Justin Trudeau, as I recall, directed the flags of Canada to be flown at half-mast and was front and center making apologies and talking about these supposed graves as a fact. They are not now a fact. Is there a similar movement in Canada to go more than apology, to make some change in your charter that's similar to The Voice in Australia?
No, there isn't. Now, I think part of the reason for that is that we changed our constitution substantially just 40 years ago when the amending formula was changed and a charter of rights and liberties for all Canadians, rights and freedoms, I should say, for all Canadians was added to the constitution. Now, it was there implicitly before in the common law of the country, as in Britain. You know, it is all these freedoms exist in Britain because they have been declared to exist by the courts for centuries. And that was the status we had. But because it's a one-third French country and the French like to codify things, it was set up specifically as a charter guaranteeing these rights. And the native people were addressed and their rights were addressed. So even the most extravagant claimant for further concessions and protestations of guilt and determination to do better on behalf of the native people acknowledge that their rights are entrenched in the constitution as it is now. So we don't have that, and there's no sane person in Canada could claim the native people don't have a voice. They have these royal commissions. Their voice is heard all of the time, to the point that there is, I think, a considerable body of opinion that feels that we're over that phase now, and we should get to applying the money that has been awarded to them essentially as Dane Guild, as guilt payments, be properly properly invested in benefiting the native community and eliminating the problems that they've been complaining about. So I think it's moving on, and there seems to have a sort of progress by stations. You acknowledge guilt, you apologize, you deluge them with money. And then you get to the point of saying, well, look, you know, we've done all that. Let's get on with it here. We're not apologizing anymore. We're not paying anymore. We want to help you, but it's up to you to make the most of it, you say. And I think in a way, although the technical legal aspects are different in Canada and Australia, we're arriving at the same place at about the same time, is my guess.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post, there will be no voice in Canada for the immediate future. The next election is in a few years. We shall see if this turns on an issue, such as the suspicion in Australia that more needed to be done. It was rejected by the Australian people. I'm John Marshall.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,